What has truly just inspired me to be Michaela is I got so tired of not being Michaela.
Mic drop.
I'm
I love it.
serious. I spent so much of my life trying to be someone I'm not, trying to
Right.
change my voice, trying to not do my makeup the way I do it, trying to be what fits, right? And it just sucked the life out of me.
Today's Bod Pod episode is sponsored by our friends at Shaper Mint. Make a splash with confidence this summer in their shape-enhancing swimwear collection. Express your unique style in new, bold, fashionable colors like raspberry pop, dark mint, and ocean blue. Plus, they have versatile mix and match prints for endless pairing possibilities. Their supportive bikini tops, smoothing bikini bottoms, and flattering one pieces are available in sizes small to 4XL, so every body can look great and feel even better this summer. Exclusive to Bod Pod listeners, use code BODCONSPLASH for up to 20% off Shaper Mint's shape-enhancing swimwear collection. That's BODCONSPLASH, BODCON splash at shapermint.com. Bring color to your summer with Shaper Mint Swim. Welcome to the Bod Pod, the podcast where every body is welcome. I'm your host, Rachel K. Grimm, and each week we welcome old and new friends to talk all things body image, self-love, and confidence. This is the Bod Pod.
Hey, Bod Pod Squad, I'm Rachel K. Grimm, the confidence coach behind Ditch the Click and your Bod Pod host. Every week, I chat with friends old and new about their journey to confidence. And today, I know our chat is going to blow your mind, just like it has blown up all of our TikTok For You pages. Meet Michaela Jane Nogueira.
Welcome, girl.
What's going on?
I don't know how everyone would know who you are, but if you don't know Michaela, Michaela is a social media influencer known for her makeup tutorials. As you can see, if you're watching this video, her makeup is fabulous.
Thank you.
She's known for the tutorials on TikTok and Instagram. One of my favorite things about what you do, Michaela, is you not only provide us tips and tricks, but you're also so authentic in what you share. You provide like some humor with it too. And I know you're going to bring that same energy today. So welcome to the pod. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I feel like this is, if I could go on any podcast, I feel like this one fits me a lot. I feel like this will be a vibe.
Yes, I feel that too. That is such an honor to hear because we're so passionate about talking about confidence, but the good and the bad and all the in-between of confidence because it's such a journey. And we have seen you on a journey on TikTok. I'm sure you never would have thought you'd be like sharing with millions of people your journey. And I know that this journey has been like tricky to navigate at times because, as I said, every journey of confidence is a journey. It's ups, it's downs. And I don't want to dive into like those nuances, but what I do want to dive into off the bat is how you've stayed motivated, showing up for millions of people, sometimes millions of people being like, yes, so into it. Other times millions of people being like, I'm not so into this. How do you stay motivated when maybe people's perception isn't like the most amazing of you?
My content is makeup, right? Makeup is my life. Makeup is my soul. So to be able to do my passion every single day, that is the biggest motivation of all. I get to go on camera every day and teach someone something new, make someone laugh, make someone smile, relate to someone and what they may be going through. That brings me so much joy. It's like actually ridiculous. I'm the type of person who I don't really experience burnout. I'm like anxious to film every single day. I'm like, let's go, let's do it. I have just a long list of ideas that I want to do. I'm just such a creative. So I'm definitely very motivated.
I'm sure that it could be so easy to be like, no, I don't want to film today. I don't want to do this because millions of people are watching. But the fact that you are showing up like, no, I want to do this, yes, for me, but also for these millions of people watching, like that is your motivation, is that you get to share, that you get to do what you love. It's beautiful.
I think the other thing that's like really important is this is truly one of the most privileged jobs you could have, right? It is just a massive blessing that you're handed. So if that's not motivation, I don't know what is. For me, I'm just so grateful to be able to do this that I want to do it every day. Yeah. I just feel very blessed and very privileged. And when you're handed privilege, you want to take care of that and be appreciative of it.
The fact that you show up every single day is what really gets me as someone who shows up creatively. I want to know your advice for maybe those like myself or any yeah. other creators out there who maybe someone who's just getting started. Mm. What is your advice for that person that's aspiring to be doing what you're doing in yeah. this industry? How do they stay motivated? How do they show up?
If you want to do this, my piece of advice is you need to treat it like a traditional job. So yeah, there's nothing traditional about this job. Yeah. Really. But if you treat it that way, it makes a difference in how you go about it. So for instance, I treat my job as if it's a regular 8-hour day. So I'm up at 7. Every single day I'm up at 7, no matter what. Say you work in retail, right? And your shift is at 8 o'clock. You're going to get up at 7 to go to work at 8 o'clock. It doesn't right. matter if you're having a bad day. And you got to treat it the same way with this. You don't get, you, yes, you're privileged in that you could take the day off if you wanted, but don't. Right. So I get up every day at 7, right? I get straight into the studio and I treat it as a career where I'm truly making the content, filming, editing, and taking it seriously. I try to do Monday through Friday. Sometimes I go into the weekend because I have a really good idea and I want to do it. But you truly, you got to put in the work. You got to put in the work. I film 3 to 5 videos a day and I love doing it. And yeah. just if you go into it with that level of motivation and just determination, you're going to get somewhere with it.
What are your tips for someone who doesn't want to show up, but yeah. knows that they should?
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to tell everybody you don't want to show up.
The authenticity, that's it.
Yeah, no, literally. So for instance, I did a video, it might've been 2 weeks ago, where I was like, yo, I don't want to be on camera right now, but this is what I do when I'm off camera.
Yes.
And that's what you can do. For instance, I was thinking about on a day where I maybe don't want to put on a ton of makeup like this, because it is exhausting. Someone asked me, what if you just wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants, but you want to look put together? That is a video I could do on a day where I'm feeling off. You know what I mean? Just put on my sweatshirt and sweatpants and sit mm-hmm. down and have some fun with it. I always look at the positive.
Yeah.
But just make it the best you can and be open and honest about how you're feeling that day.
I want to talk about social. And as you said, so privileged to be in this awesome space creating yeah. all the time. And we love social. Like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for social.
Right.
But we also know that social has an impact. And there have been such studies done recently on the impact of social media on editing tools on these platforms.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how you navigate the use of filters and editing your content and things like that, because you show up so authentic and transparent to your audience. How have you navigated those filters and edits on social media?
When I was going for my master's degree, it was in communication theory, and I actually studied the effects of social media on women. And I found a lot of really upsetting things.
So you're taking us to class right now, is what you're telling me. Give it to us, girl.
I think what people don't maybe know about me is that I went to school for this. It's something I really do care about, and it's something that really affects me, and I want to be open about it and talk about it because I see how it affects everyone. But in my videos, I don't use filters, right? If I have acne, I show it. If I have darkness under my eyes because I didn't sleep the night before, I show it. I'm very open about how I look on TikTok and on camera because that's how I look. But I can only speak from personal experience with filters and editing because I've been on the internet. We all get on the internet pretty young, I feel like. I've been on there since I was maybe 10. You see the way magazines edit people. You see the way people are edited on social media. You see the way people, even on TV and ads and everything, is edited. And it definitely makes you think that you have to do it too. So I've been editing my pitches. I don't edit my videos, but I do edit my pitches because I've always just felt like I have to. And I hate that. Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
Because it's so strange. I've worked so hard on my self-esteem and my confidence and everything. But when I take a photo, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I got to edit this. I got to edit this. I got to edit this. And it's such a goal for me in the future, 100%, to just not edit at all. And I'd love to get there.
What a great goal, you setting that for yourself, you putting that out there. Just as you said, you'll show up on camera and say, you know what, I'm really not feeling this today. So for you to come out and say, I really want to not edit is not only you putting that out there to be like, I'm going to do this for myself, but also inspiring to others to not edit so much. Because like you said, it is a distortion of not just how other people perceive us, but how we perceive ourselves. You show up on camera on TikTok, unfiltered, unedited, and you love how you show up. Why not in a picture? And that's such a good point. I never thought about until you said it. The fact that you could show up in a video so raw and real and unedited, and then in a picture. Why do we edit? Just because we're told we should, or that's what we do?
Yeah, I have no idea why I have the, I just,
me neither.
I'll show up in the photos, I edit it. I don't get that. But just as someone who has edited my photos since I was preteen, I personally, for myself, have found it very damaging to me because I find that I can't revert back. I can't, I find it so difficult to not edit the photo now. And that is such a problem to me. Because I don't think that's, and poor Cody, right? My fiance, we'll take a picture together and he'll be like, can you send me it? And I'll send you it in an hour. I gotta edit it. And he's like, Michaela, you are beautiful as you, I promise you, you don't need to edit this photo. And I'm like, Cody, it's all I know how to do. I need to edit it. And it's, that's sad to me. That is so sad that I have this loving fiance who's like, you don't need to edit, but I feel the urge to do it anyways. So when I tell you a goal for me this year is to stop editing my photos, it really is. I'll get to it eventually, but it'll be a very powerful moment when I do.
Yes, I love it. Heard it here first. Holding that accountable to you, but also to us. I think that's such great inspiration. I think about how when we see ourselves with a filter on or we see ourselves edited, we then imagine that's actually how we look. But even with the best, like, full face beat done, like that's not how we look anyway. Right. And so how hurtful to ourselves. Why not show up the most authentic?
Body dysmorphia, right?
Yes.
And there's facial dysmorphia.
Totally.
You are so used to editing and filters that you don't even know what you look like. And I feel like I'm getting to that point, which is so devastating to me. So yeah, I hope I can inspire people to just be who they are, and I'm working on it.
I think that you do that already in your videos, and then absolutely. And I think
I'm
that,
only human, right?
Girl, for real, no one is perfect, and no one just like always shows up. Like you said, we all have those days that we don't want to show up, but you keep doing it, and that alone is inspiring. So I can only imagine, like I said, we're gonna look out for that filter free, unedited,
unedited
moment. Like, yes, there
it'll be big,
and I would love to say, you are the least basic, least like the other girls that we see on the internet. No, for real, I mean that. I was thinking about that today, from how you do your makeup to how you speak to how you show up. Like, you're not necessarily fitting into this mold of who we see influencing online in the makeup space or whatever we want to call it. I want to talk about how you have so deeply dove into you and who you are and defining yourself and your brand as this true brand identity of who is Michaela, like standing apart from the rest, as opposed to trying to be like everyone else.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm so different.
I love it.
Damn, what happened? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I have said this my whole life, and I'm not trying to sound like weird. I have always felt different. I have always felt different, just how I act, how I speak, how I am around people. I'm loud, I'm annoying. And there's been so many times in my life, I cannot tell you, that I have shoved that down because I'm told to by whoever, by family, by friends, by teachers, whoever is around me, that you need to lock it in because you're whatever, you know, you're going to get made fun of. And I have been, oh my God, are you kidding me? Yeah. When you're someone like me who does makeup like this and has a voice like I do and is loud, you're going to get made fun of it. It's just, it's kind of how it goes. But what has truly just inspired me to be Michaela is I got so tired of not being Michaela.
Mic drop.
I'm serious. I spent so much of my life trying to be someone I'm not. trying to change my voice, trying to not do my makeup the way I do it, trying to be what fits, right? And it just sucked the life out of me. Now that I have people in my life who support me for who I am and appreciate me and accept me, I feel like I've done a really good job of just being Michaela, which is like fantastic.
I got chills when you were saying that. I relate so strongly. I relate so strongly to the being told to minimize, that you're too much, you're too extra, you're too loud, all the too everything. And I think as women, we are truly told to settle down, right? Yeah. Be softer, be more quiet, right? Yeah. That's what makes a good woman. When we go along with what is told is right or good or what we should be, sure, maybe we're pleasing other people, but are we even liking ourselves? Are we even happy?
Don't minimize yourself. There's going to be a lot of pressure to want to minimize yourself because it's the easy thing to do. It is the easy, it's the easy way out. But when I say in the long run, the way that'll hit you later, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about makeup and confidence.
Sure.
The two coexisting, right? Yep. Can you be confident wearing a full face of makeup? How do those two things go together?
I'll tell you right now. If you put on makeup like this, you're not hiding because everyone's going to be looking at you.
But there it is.
No, so makeup is sketchy. Makeup is sketchy. No, you need to be perfect. If you have poor, that sucks. Your face sucks if you have poor. It's just like this negative advertising that is like on everything. There are brands, for instance, Glow Recipe.
Yeah.
I was eating dinner with them one time and they told me that they don't use the word flawless in their advertising.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, that is like real. That makes so much sense. And I said to myself, why do we do that? Why do we? And I am not innocent in this. In my videos, I use the word flawless, perfect, poreless all the time because I'm conditioned to do that. But I encourage people, if you watch the video version of the podcast and you do see my makeup, this look that I have on right now, it's a lot. It is like you're staring at it. And I'll go to the grocery store like this. I'll go to the mall. I'll go to the post office. I don't care. That's a level of confidence I aspire for people to get to.
Yes. To have people look and be like, yes, I know this is a good beat.
When I began wearing makeup at a very young age, 10, 11, I started wearing makeup because I was being bullied. I was being bullied in the sense that I was constantly told I wasn't feminine enough because of my voice. My voice is a bit deeper for a woman, I would say. And I've had this voice since I was 10, 11, 12. Yeah. So I would constantly be told, like, you need to be more feminine. Yeah. So that's when I started to wear makeup because it made me feel more like a woman.
Yeah.
But then as I got into it, as I learned more about makeup and started experimenting with color and everything, that's when I said, wait a minute, makeup is awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? And now makeup for me is more about self-expression and the love of creativity. Yes. And this is part of who I am. Part of my identity is this artistic, creative painter style. My makeup is very drag inspired. I do the big bold eye looks. And that for me is what I want to do. But then there's people who like just a little bit of brow gel, a little bit of mascara. And what I will say to you, if you are someone who puts on makeup to cover insecurities or flaws, know that all that makeup does is enhance the natural beauty that you already have.
Yes.
So you're not covering up flaws or insecurities or any imperfections. You're already wonderful the way you are. And that makeup is simply enhancing it.
At the beginning of that, you said how we're almost sold makeup and sold skincare and sold beauty products as a way to change and become more flawless, perfect. Yeah. And the fact is, we'll never be flawless, perfect. Who is? But to be able to say, I'm using these to just enhance what I already know is beautiful, as opposed to using it to hide what you don't like, that's where the power and the confidence in the makeup comes from.
Yes.
I was just talking to someone else on the podcast recently. She was saying how where she grew up abroad, stretch marks were seen as something that was like beautiful and highlighted as like pretty, right? She came to the US and is a model, and she does a lot of modeling in lingerie and things. And as soon as she started modeling here, she was told, oh, you need to use XYZ cream, you need to cover those up. And she was just blown away. She was like, oh no, I've been taught that these are beautiful. Her and I were talking about how isn't that a perpetuation of an industry and marketing and sales, that if someone else can see those as beautiful, then they really aren't they? We're just told they should be covered up.
Yeah, I think if you have a baby and you develop stretch marks on your stomach, that is freaking gorgeous. You literally gave birth to a human life, and those stretch marks are simply a testament to the fact that you literally gave birth. It's beautiful.
It's representation of growth.
I have stretch marks on my arms, for instance, and I definitely grew up in kind of a environment family that was like, you can't wear shorts because your cellulite and stretch marks are showing. You got to wear long sleeves because your stretch marks and like your arm fat is hanging out. And that definitely affected me growing up. But now I'm like in a dress, I'm showing it all.
I don't know if you're this way, Michaela, but I know for me, things that maybe when I was younger, I was told, oh, you shouldn't show this because of whatever reason, or society tells us not to show this. It almost motivates me more to be like, no, I'm going to show that. I'm going to show these curves. I'm going to show these arms, whatever.
I was a very rebellious child.
That's why you show up in the full face of makeup, like arms out. Let's go. So you're getting married.
I am getting
Congratulations.
married. Thank you.
I want to talk so many things wedding because I think the experience around weddings are quite relatable for a lot of the women listening. But first, because makeup is your thing, let's start there. Let's start with, are you doing your makeup for your wedding or are you trusting someone else to do it? Would you trust anyone to do your makeup?
Oh yeah. So I think what okay, so this definitely is a testament to the pressure that's put on me. I think a lot of people think that on my wedding day, my makeup is like the most important thing to me. And if I am completely honest right now, my makeup on my wedding day is probably going to be the least important thing to me. Because makeup is like my whole life. So on my wedding day, I want it to truly be about the marriage and the family and and friends and everything like that. And makeup is probably going to be like at the bottom of my priority list. But I am having someone else do my makeup, and that goes along with that because I feel like that day I deserve to just not do makeup for once in my life. I think it was really important to me to find a makeup artist who will do my makeup on the day because, I want to sit back and relax and enjoy the moment and not be so worried about the pressure for my makeup to be super flawless.
You feel the pressure with your makeup being flawless. And you recently shared too the pressure of feeling you have to fit into a very specific body on a wedding day. And I want to, again, I feel like that's very relatable, whether someone is getting married or just anyone who potentially will reach that point. It's a very relatable conversation. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Growing up, first of all, I never thought I was going to get married. But
Well,
now I
congrats.
am.
Look at you
Now I am. Now I am getting married, and I think about growing up, all of the articles and the magazines and things on TV that it's look your best on your wedding day. And it says all the things you can do to look your best, which includes like stabbing yourself and taking laxatives and de-bloating and eat greens only. And it's like this all these intense things that cause you to believe that if you're not doing those things on your wedding day, that you don't belong to like at your wedding. And it put a lot of pressure on me. When I first got engaged, one of the first thoughts I have had was, holy crap, I need to lose weight, which is horrible. So when you get your dress, right, you can't gain weight, you can't lose weight. So that's actually been interesting for me to just not try to lose weight, not try to gain weight, just be happy in the body I'm in. You know what I mean? So That's a little like it's a little inspiring that like when you get your dress, you have to be okay with who you are. And it's actually helped me a little bit. So that's good.
That's kind of a hot take and a hot tip, really. Like, not having a dress that we feel we need to fit into, just as not having a body that we feel we need to work to fit into. I don't know about you, but I remember my mom growing up having the gold dress hanging on her door that was always like, oh, when I lose enough weight, like that's the dress that I'm going to wear. And not only was that bad for her to see, that's toxic for me. And I know I'm not the only person that's experienced that, but it makes me sad for that version of my mom to think that, oh, she thought she would only be accepted, could only wear that dress when she fit into that size. Why couldn't she wear that dress at the size she was? Why can't you wear the wedding dress right where you are? And you're proving like it's okay to feel great right where you are. You don't have to lose weight to fit into the dress. The dress is actually, it will fit you. We're going to do a little bit of a love it, leave it segment. And I have some queued up for you, but also if you have any that you want to talk about, please feel free to add them to the list. Fire, but I would love to like discuss them a bit too, just because I know they're things like selfishly, I want to know your thoughts because, hello, again, anyone watching, your makeup is amazing. But also, I think other people will appreciate too. So, the first trend that we have on our list, love it or leave it, is the fluffy brushed up brows, brow lamination, brow freeze, whatever you want to call it. Love it or leave it, and your thoughts.
This is like very, I'm amazed that you brought this up.
Okay.
So when that trend first began, the fluffy stuck up brows,
Yes.
I hated it. I was like, oh my God, no, I will never do that. That trend's been around a while and
Right.
it's not, it seems to not be going anywhere.
Going anywhere. Yeah.
So that's when I said, you know what? I'm just gonna start to do that just to see if I can get into it. And then I began doing it and now I do it every day. And now I don't want to go back to the old way I did my brows. And I will say, so I'm for it. I'm all for the fluffy, stuck up brow. I love when other people do it. But I think it's so interesting that I started hating it. And now I'm like, oh, I like it. I would say the most criticism I receive on my makeup is when I do the fluffy, stuck up brow. So I think as a majority of people, I feel like it's a trend that a lot of people are not a fan of, but I don't see it going anywhere. So I don't
I
know.
can only imagine the reactions that you get because me alone, when I share my beauty or anything online, people, I get very mixed reviews. Like, what are you doing to your eyebrows? But I love it. I feel like it lifts. So obviously I'm a love. I love it.
I
I
love it.
feel like it lifts everything. And this makes me think of a question I had for you. I noticed that you always do your brows first.
Yes.
Is there a reason for that when you're doing your makeup? Is that what you would recommend people do? Or is that just your routine of doing your brows first?
So there is a very specific reason I do my brows first. I don't know if you've experienced this or if you've seen someone talk about it or say it in comments or anything, but I get a lot of comments all the time, or I see it in makeup reviews where they use like a brow soap or the ABH brow freeze or like the e.l.f. brow lift, and either upon application or later in the day, they notice it's turning white and flaky white patches.
Yes.
That is 90% more likely to be happening because you're doing it after you've done everything else. So that is why I do it first. I never get white patches, white flakes ever because I'm doing it on fresh eyebrows. They're totally
Yes.
clean.
I've loved everything you've shared in this episode, but that might be my biggest takeaway. Is
Why do you do your brows later?
after. And I don't always experience that, but I've experienced it here and there where I'm like, what is happening to my one eyebrow today? I don't get it. So there it is.
It can definitely depend on like the product
Yeah.
specifically too. But once I began, I used to do my brows after I did my complexion. But now that I do it first, it has made such a difference in the way my brows look, and people take notice.
Yeah, your brows are
Oh, thank
they're there. So, okay, I will be doing that. Thank you for that. Okay, next one is more of skincare. Love it or leave it, slugging. Are you familiar with slugging?
Yes.
I
I would
figured
say
you'd
love it. I would say love it. I personally only slug if I'm like severely dry. So, for instance, I'm in Massachusetts where it gets really dry and really cold. So on sometimes, and I have to take my dogs out outside all day long, right? So in the winter, my face gets super dry. And that's the time where I will take straight up Vaseline and just lather it on. And it does help. It absolutely definitely helps. It's not, maybe it'll take a few uses, but it makes a difference.
I also love it. I think it definitely makes a difference. I think my on the fenceness is that I always think about wearing it at night, and I could not then feel like I'd have to sleep so last that I don't get products like everywhere. But I agree. I think it really locks in, especially when super dry. Same here. I'm in New York, and walking around in the city all the time in the cold, like, gets so dry. So love it for that. Okay, so we love. Okay, next one is more body modification. So I am curious, love it or leave it, buckle fat removal.
That is a good
Okay.
one. I don't love it. I like the way it looks. I think
Okay.
people who have done it, I think it looks cool. I have a lot of buckle fat here.
Okay.
And I'm like, should I be removing this?
It
But
really makes you think when you see people doing that.
yes, you're like, oh my
Yeah.
God, I have to do that too. But no, I don't have any plastic surgery. But I like the way it looks. I think it looks great. I think you need to be aware of how it's going to look later on down the line, like when you get
Yeah.
older.
There have been a few other celebrities recently that have shared that they had it and agreed it looks so good now, but what will it look like when you're like 70?
Yeah, just with filler plastic surgery in general, you just never know what it's going to look like when you get
Right.
older. But I think I like the way it looks. I think if you want to do it, go for it. I'm not someone who's like against plastic surgery or anything like that. So I think do whatever makes you happy, but definitely think about the future.
I'm same way. We talk a lot on the podcast in general and just at the BODCON really overall of the things that we do. Is it because other people are telling us to, or because it actually makes us feel better about ourselves, makes us feel more confident? Talking about makeup, we talk about shapewear, we talk about plastic surgery. And same thing, I always say, I'm like, it might not all necessarily be for me, but I am pro for you. If you think it's absolutely what's best for you, go do it. But also definitely think about like long term, will you like it later on? Okay. Next one. I'm really interested to know your thoughts on this. Love it or leave it, the white eyeliner, white eyeshadow, white eyes thing that's going on.
Leave it.
Okay.
And I can only speak for myself because
Yes.
I'm practically the same color as the bookshelf behind me. No, I so that has always pissed me off is I'm so pale that I can't really like white eyeshadow does not show up on me because I'm too pale. But I think like on people of color, on darker complexions, oh my God, is it pretty? I always am so jealous of like the people who can have that bright white in a corner or like
Yes.
the white shimmery shadow that actually shows up. I'm like, oh man, you're so lucky. So it's a leave it for me because I can't do it, but it's a
Yes.
love it for like people of color, darker complexions who can use white and it can
Totally.
really like pop.
Yes. As you said earlier, for anyone who's watching, Michaela and I are both like the most pale, fair people. But I'm the same way. I love it for how it looks on people that it works for them. I don't necessarily love it on me. I have tried because I see a lot of people doing the white eyeliner like on their waterline.
Pretty.
Yes, that is pretty. I've tried that and I actually, rather than the stark white, I tried like a soft nude of that and that was really pretty too.
Yeah, I like that too. I'll do that sometimes, like a nude liner that even the
Yes.
one I use is from LA Girl and it has a little bit of shimmer in it too, so it makes the eye like sparkle a little bit. So
Yes. Your eyes are always so bold anyway. So then that like sparkle. Oh my gosh, girl.
yeah.
So we're both feeling like a love and leave it, depending on for who and what.
Yeah.
Okay, last one in the love it or leave it is I feel like I know how you're going to answer, but mosaic eyes, love it or leave it.
Oh, what is that specifically?
Oh my gosh. Okay. We'll have to pop up a photo for anyone who's watching. It's like people who are using the gems to do like literal artwork in their shadow, like placing the gems. Or I guess so, maybe mosaic eyes, the glitter, but maybe also those like gem placements, we could call them.
I don't think I've seen the Mosaic Eyes. I need to look that up.
You'll send it.
As someone, I'm going to say love it, because anytime I do gems, what yes. I'm going to say is it literally doubles the amount of time it takes to do. So if someone's doing like a whole mosaic on their eye of gems, I can tell you that has taken a long time. So yeah. I give so much credit to anyone who's doing that, because wow, that is probably very time consuming. And it's just like devastating how you got to take it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've seen some people, they'll do some crazy gem look situation, yeah. and then they make skin safe glue, and they'll yeah. paint the whole thing with the glue and let it fully dry, and then they'll peel the glue and it'll keep the look intact.
Wild.
And they'll just save it as a memory. And I think that is very clever.
That is so cool. That's like yeah. saving your wedding bouquet. Like, you save your favorite yeah. makeup look. I feel similarly. I love it for someone who's into it. I leave it for myself. Being in New York, being busy, like, I just don't have the time. Like, I just wouldn't take the time. I think it looks amazing when people do it, but it would be a leave it for me personally. Michaela, I'm going to ask you a question that I ask every single person who comes on the podcast. What does body confidence mean to you?
I feel like the definition of that is a little different for me as someone who struggles with eating disorders and body dysmorphia and stuff. But I would say body confidence for me is showing up for myself every day and accepting and loving my body for where it is today.
I have chills, son. So thank you for that. But before I let you go, like, I want to talk about, or let you talk about, anything that is coming up for you, anything that you are launching, any exciting videos you have coming up. Obviously, we know to be on the lookout for all things wedding with you, but anything you want to share here, Michaela, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think, just to be honest, this is probably the most special year of my life. Just like, the marriage is obviously the biggest thing I'll ever do, probably, like, for myself. So my wedding is where my focus has been, but there are some really cool things coming this year that I've been working on for a long time. So definitely I would say keep your eye out, because I'm really just like excited and proud of the things I've been working on. I put a lot of my creative energy into them. So yeah, that there's definitely things down the pipeline that I'm really excited for people to witness. Yeah.
We can't wait. For anyone who's maybe living under a rock and not following you, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok. That's my main gig. Michaela Nogueira. And then you can find me on Instagram, Michaela J Makeup, and keep an eye out for that photo.
Yes! We are going to be watching, waiting for the filter-free, unedited photo. That's so inspiring for you, but for me and everyone listening to Michaela, thank you so much for being here. I know I speak yeah. for me and the whole BODCON squad when I say thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was awesome to be here, and I hope we inspired some people for sure.
Thank you all for listening. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, both on Apple and Spotify, be sure to find us there. And you can also find us on YouTube, where you can see all of the visuals from our podcast. Definitely, as I said, be sure to check out Michaela's makeup there. And you can also find us on socials at the BODCON. And until next time.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the BOD Pod. We release new episodes every week, and we're available on all podcast streaming platforms and now YouTube too. Subscribe to our channels to be the first to know. Want to talk all things body confidence, enter amazing giveaways, and hear updates about the BODCON 2023? Find us on Instagram at the BODCON. My name's Rachel K. Grimm, and I'll see you next week.